Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the ADF Foods Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Devansh Dedhia from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashree. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ADF Foods Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q1 FY24 financial results discussion call. Today on the call, we have Mr. Shardul Doshi, CFO, Mr. Devang Gandhi, COO, and Mr. Sumer Thakkar, who is from the promoter family, as well as the Senior Manager, Business Development and Strategy. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through our investor deck and press release that we have uploaded on the exchanges and on the company's website. A short disclaimer before we start this call. This call will contain some of the forward-looking statements, which are completely based upon our belief, opinion, and expectation as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sumer Thakkar for his opening remarks.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to our quarter one earnings conference call. We've been consistently improving our first quarter results since the past two financial years, and this quarter was no different. Our top line improved on a yearly basis, but what's more interesting is our bottom line more than doubled as compared to the first quarter of last financial year. This was achieved by a substantial increase in our margins, aided by operational efficiency and a softening of input costs as well as freight costs. As ambassadors of Indian ethnic food globally, we constantly try to innovate and bring new products so that a larger audience can enjoy the richness of the Indian culture worldwide. This quarter saw the launch of two new product lines under the Ashoka brand name: frozen curries for food service in restaurants, which include some popular dishes such as Palak Paneer, Punjabi Chole, and Dal Makhani. The other product is pure butter ghee, a staple in every Indian household. We've introduced this in three different packs: 500 grams, 1 kg, and 2 kg. We also built a new large cold storage capacity in our warehouse in New Jersey. This will allow us to store products more effectively and enable us to achieve faster fulfillment of our products. It's also an essential capacity enhancement when we orient to expanding our frozen products and the offering in the future. Our flagship brand, Ashoka, continued to grow at a very high rate, and which we achieved this quarter too. It had crossed 200 crores in revenue during the last financial year, growing at an impressive CAGR of 33%. We received listing notes for three of our SKUs at a large discounter, as well as for 15 SKUs spread across both ambient and frozen with the supermarket chain in the U.K. We're very excited about the revenue potential from these listings, a further approval and testament to the fact that our products fulfill the cravings of our consumers at a high-quality standard. That's all on the operational part of the business. I will now hand over the phone to Mr. Shardul Doshi, who will share our financial highlights.
Hi, good evening. Standalone Q1 FY24 revenues from operations stood at rupees 84.6 crores, which is an increase of 17.2% Y-on-Y. Gross margin for the quarter is 60.6%, an improvement of 573 bps on a yearly basis. Standalone EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 21.1 crore, almost tripling from Q1 FY23 EBITDA of rupees 7.3 crores. EBITDA margin more than doubled on a Y-on-Y basis from 10.1% to 24.9% this quarter. PAT was rupees 16.4 crores, a growth of 121% on Y-on-Y basis, with PAT margin increasing by 908 bps Y-on-Y to reach 19.3%. In Q1 FY24, consolidated revenue from operations grew by 15.7% on a yearly basis to rupees 112.4 crores, while EBITDA and PAT grew by 141.4 crores% Y-on-Y to rupees 21.9 crores and 92.7% Y-on-Y to rupees 14.7 crores respectively. Both EBITDA and PAT margins improved from 9.3% to 19.5% and from 7.9% to 13.1% when compared with Q1 FY23. Our processed and preserved food division not only saw revenue growth on a yearly basis, but healthy margin expansion from 14.5% to 26.7%. Distribution business grew significantly both sequentially as well as on YoY basis at 28.6% and 40.4% respectively. This is all from my side. We can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Naveen Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. My name is Ravi Naredi, not Naveen Naredi. Anyway, first of all, thank you very much for nice result. I would like to know how much percentage capacity utilization at US warehouses, and second, margin rise in quarter one, it will be regular phenomena, or in quarter two or financial year 24, it will be different story.
So Ravi, in terms of capacity utilization in New Jersey, the cold storage is, it was up and running as of last week, but at maximum capacity, we can do about 10 containers, which is roughly 400 pallets.
Okay.
And on your second question, historically, in Q3 and Q4, we've had a better margin profile, but on a consolidated level, we're confident that we can achieve high teens, early 20s in EBITDA margin.
Okay. And one more thing, how much CapEx plan for financial year 24 and 25, and how much top line we receive if we do 1 rupee CapEx?
So our CapEx plan includes the Greenfield project in this year. We plan to spend our total planned capacity expenditure is about 50 crores, out of which this and the second phase we will spend 30 crores.
Okay. And are you telling for this financial year 24 or 25 also?
Both together. I'm talking about both together. This expansion will take place over the next 15 to 18 months.
15 to 18 months, okay. And if we do 80 crore turnover at CapEx, how much top line we make do?
We do about 250 crores from that.
Almost 3x,
yeah.
I could not listen. How much capacity utilization is US warehouse?
So it's, yeah. 10 containers, basically.
So he's asking about utilization.
Utilization, as soon as the material comes in, we just started, like Mr. Thakkar said, it has just begun last week. It has gone into operation. So we expect it to be running at full capacity.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ravi Naredi. We have our next question from the line of Rishi Maheshwari from Aksa Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Hi, Sumir. Hi, Shagul. This is the question related to understanding the nuance of a sequential growth that you have shown, as well as in the margin as alluded in the last question. You've been generally looking at 20% plus kind of growth in all our conversations earlier also, you've pointed that out. Whereas in this quarter, the growth has been marginally subdued at about 16%. So, wish to understand whether, is there something that you can share with us on the environment, how's the growth been, industry growth, and how do you look at FY24 in terms of growth on the top line?
So, Rishi, for us, I mean, historically as well in the past, Q1 has always been low in terms of demand because a lot of people travel in the summer, so the months leading up to the summer packaged food consumption reduces. In terms of our outlook for FY24, demand continues to remain robust, and we feel fairly confident we can maintain that 20% growth rate.
Fair enough. That's heartening to know. I also noticed that, you know, in one of the slides, slide 19, your products are displayed in a showroom. In the background, there is Walmart. And I'm curious to understand if we have made any breakthrough in any of the large names like Walmart. You mentioned that Costco, you have a relationship that you were trying to develop, but it's not fully convertible. So hence, if you can also, you know, help me understand if there is any relationship that has broken, and if specifically on slide 19, the packet of boxes in yellow is the Walmart behind. So have you been able to crack that?
Correct. So we've actually been selling in Walmart for over 3 to 4 years now. This is in Walmart, Canada. In Canada, we're present in majority of your large-scale retailers. There's another one called Loblaws and Sobeys. We're present in both of them as well. In Walmart, we have a list of ambient products and frozen listed as well. I think there are about 12 different SKUs. And in terms of other developments, like I mentioned, we've got listings with two large retailers in the UK. One has about, I think they both have upwards of 350 stores. One is a discounter, one is a retailer.
I see. So this is Walmart Canada. Is there any development in any of the large chain retail stores in the US?
Still work in progress. Presentations are going on. All the range reviews are happening now. And Truly Indian, we're launching in frozen now, which we're pitching to all these retailers. We should have that ready by Q3 of this year.
Okay, great. Can you also outline what is the benefit of PLI that we have received in this quarter?
Well, I'm going to let you get that.
So we have booked 1.5 crores in this quarter. Appreciate.
All right. Thank you so much. That'll be all from me.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Devanshu Sampat from Avendus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Good afternoon. So I have a few questions. Firstly, can you tell me what is the freight as a percentage of sales this quarter, consol number?
So in a standalone, it's around 7%.
Okay, and can you give the control number also?
So in the previous quarter, it was 8%. Now it's 7%. So it's in line with very, very similar to what we had in the last quarter.
Okay. So I'm just trying to get a sense of your other expenses, X of the freight rates, right? So if I'm assuming 8 crore as the number of your freight cost this year, your other expenses, excluding freight rates, have gone up in the last 1-2 quarters. So can you firstly just tell me, you know, what has happened there, because the number has jumped up to about 21.5 crores from about 15-16 crores in the previous 3 quarters.
No, so other expenses include professional fees, advertisement, sales, promotional, freight, travel and conveyance. So these are some of the major heads which we have. Also, let's understand some of these costs are fixed costs in nature, like rent and everything is fixed cost on a lower base when percentages looks higher. But in terms of absolute number also, I think as Sumer mentioned that there is a lot of focus on Truly Indian launch which we are doing. So there are some certain expenses which we have incurred in the market for doing those testings and the presentations which we have to do to them. So these are all kind of investments for us in a revenue expenditure manner.
So there's no one-off as such in this quarter, right?
No.
Okay. And would you say your freight rate, if it's 7% average for the quarter, is that the bottoming out, or can it be lower in terms of, you know, what your exit was for the month?
No, this is like a bottoming out. I think we can assume that this should remain for the year.
7% is the assumption for the year. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you also discuss what has led to lower margins in the distribution business, you know, despite a 28% growth?
So it's also about the sales mix generally, you know. I think what happens is it's not really a function of, I think the products which we sell also makes a lot of difference. So last year we had products like atta and rice also as part of our kitty when we sold it in, say, UK. We have some of these products were there from Unilever as well as Patanjali, but now since they are banned now and these were high margin products, they are not available. We cannot sell them in the current year. But of course, there is a growth which have happened on the other items, but margin may not be as high as what we would have seen in other products. So it's primarily because of the product mix.
So it will be safe to assume that this 10%, between 9 to 10% is the number to work with at the EBIT level for the year?
Yes. In fact, in the earlier years also we used to have, I think this is a safe number we can assume on the distribution business.
Okay, okay. And you haven't highlighted Unilever separately in this PPD, so anything to call out there?
So I didn't understand. Sorry, what is your question?
So so the major products we used to distribute for Unilever were the TAs, which have now all moved to Ekaterra. And right now our product basket from Unilever is hardly anything. It's just a few items in the UK.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's why the whole business has now moved to Ekaterra.
If you see, the brands are same. It's the same Lipton, Brookbond, tea products which have moved to Ekaterra. And that's what we are selling there. So,
so X of the T, you're saying the, I mean, it's not like we've lost that account or something like that, right? Or we continue to...
We still continue to sell the other items. We have No and a couple other brands of theirs that we handle in the UK.
Okay. Okay. And I have a few more questions, if I may.
Yep.
So if I subtract your console numbers standalone numbers, right? The numbers seem to have improved sequentially on an EBITDA level. So what has driven this, and can you give a sense of the outlook?
So when we look at sequentially, yeah, what to say is right. The gap between your standalone and console is essentially a distribution business and your investment in the Indian brand, which we are doing, and the ADF Foods USA losses, which we have to incur. So what we have done is the distribution business has done well in terms of top line increase, and as such there is a good contribution. We have reduced our fixed cost into the ADF Foods USA, which is Nets and PJ's business. While there is, of course, we have continued with our investment into the Indian brand, but right now even that has been slightly lower compared to the previous cost. So this is what has that's the gap between your standalone and consolidated.
Got it. And any update on Nate's PJ's? Are we on track to making a comeback in second half, or will it be pushed forward to 25?
We've submitted samples. It all depends on the supermarkets now. But we finalized a vendor, and we've sent samples and writing. So.
Sure. And just last question. We were obviously looking at a new distribution partner. So where are we on that right now?
So we're just waiting on a few legal formalities, but more or less everything has been agreed.
Okay, okay. Sure. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We take the next question from the line of Kana from Gurd Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I just have one question. I mean, after looking at the at your investor presentation, I see that our processed food business has increased from 293 crores to 362 crores from FY21 to FY23, right? However, if I look at your Ashoka brand contribution, right, the number that has grown from 119 crores to 211 crores. So does that mean that our other brands, like Soulful, I think Soulful is, and they are truly Indian, they're not growing at all?
So so within that business, we also have a private label and B2B business. On the brand side, we saw all our brands grow. private label grew as well, but for us B2B fell. That's where the decline was.
Okay. So you mean to say that
Ola brand grew from FY21 to FY22.
Okay. Because if I look at the number, so 70 crore is just increase in the revenue for processed food, and I think for Ashoka there has been an increase of some 90 odd crores. So we are saying that this the institutional business that we have lost, it is more than, let's say, 35-40 crores.
Yes.
Correct. But that's not business we've lost. A lot of our customers overtraded in the previous year, so they were just sitting on a lot of inventory. But hopefully next year onwards, they'll go back to its original levels.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That was my only question. Good luck.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhay Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. I have two questions. One is regarding the distribution business, which you have told that we are going to expand. But if you see the capital deployment and the margins which we are earning, is it worthwhile continuing with that business, or it will be a temporary thing, or we will be expanding it on a much larger scale?
So one thing to keep in mind is distribution business has really helped grow our own brands.
Okay.
So, and our brand business is a very high margin business. So net, it is helping us a lot.
So do you mean to say that the distribution, wherever you are penetrating, you are able to penetrate our brands also through that distribution?
Yes, that's correct. Since we offer a wider basket to the retailer, we have more strength with the retailer, and that helps us increase sales overall.
But do you think the margins will always be like 10%?
So right now, the business is in investment mode. Our fixed costs are very high because of the investments we made into warehousing. Hopefully, as sales increase, the margin profile should increase as well.
Okay. And another question was regarding the B2B business which you are having, where you have mentioned that large ethnic foods brand has tied up with you for supply of their brand, and a large market chain, supermarket chain, also has tied up for your some pasta, paste and sauces. So are those margins almost like what we are earning through our brands, or it will be substantially less?
They're in the same range.
Okay, so margins are not being compromised when you are supplying through B2B and large supermarket chain, I suppose.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saurabh Trivedi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Saurabh Trivedi here. I'm sorry if I am asking this question again. Recently, promoter has pledged their shareholding, I guess more or less 30 to 40%. May I know the reason behind it?
Sorry, who has reduced the shareholding?
No, so there is no additional pledge which is asked.
Certain share of debt from their own portfolio. Am I audible? Hello?
No, we couldn't hear that. Can you repeat yourself?
Okay. Promoter has pledged 23 or more or less 8 to 10% of shares of ADF Foods recently.
Hi, this is Shalaka. I am company secretary, and the promoters have not recently pledged any additional shares. The shares were pledged last year, and those like 10% shares of the total shareholding, what you are saying, so total 10,50,000 shares have been pledged, which is 5% of the total shareholding. And that was done last year for raising the funds for subscription of the preferential warrants. And there has been no additional pledge thereafter. Only some marginal 25,000 shares were pledged thereafter during last quarter.
Okay. So is there any plan to pledge more shares in future?
Not really.
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. Next thing is the Indian brand Soul is doing amazingly well. I'm living in Ahmedabad, so the neighbors that I am surrounding with, I recommend them to use Soul brand, and they are very happy with the product. So I would just give a suggestion to please market this product as much as you can, because people are there who want to buy good quality products.
No, in fact, we've increased the number of listings, and we've also launched on Big Basket, Flipkart, Amazon. So yeah, we are making the product more widely available.
Right. Very good. That's awesome progress that you are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. My question is regarding this capex of 80 crore odd. So my understanding is that it is going to happen in stages. So if you could share some timelines as to how much time will it take for 250 crore kind of revenue potential to be reflected in the top line. That would help. And what? How are we funding it? What would be the peak debt and the mixed funding debt for this?
So there is, as Devang just mentioned, there is a 50 crores in phase one, which will be spent in FY24 and FY25. And additional 30 crores will be in phase two. That will be done post phase one is completed and we start selling the products out of the phase one. So that's the plan as of now. Out, and there is a 3x multiple which we generally we look at. So top line expected out of this 50 plus 30 crores investment will be around 250 crores. And there is additional one more capex which we are doing at Nadiad. We have bought the adjoining plot next to our factory, and we are setting up the freezer capacity there.
Harish, I just wanted to add that we are doing a state-of-the-art cold storage there. So this is to enhance our storage capacity for additional volumes.
Right. So I just wanted, let's say in FY25, we are done with placement kind of capex. So how much time does it typically take for, the capacity to produce revenue, whatever potential is expected of it?
So it all depends whether we are doing greenfield or brownfield. Brownfield would be definitely faster, but greenfield will take you a long time because setting up everything takes time, as you are aware. So that typically it would run between 12 to 18 months to set up a greenfield project.
Okay. And what would be the funding mix? How are we funding this?
I'm sorry, you're not clear, ma'am. Can you use your handset mode, please?
Yeah. Sorry. Am I audible now?
Yep.
So I just wanted to understand the funding mix and the peak debt that you expect from this.
So funding, we will be borrowing for this project because the grant which we have to necessarily route it through the lender. But that will be very minimal. I think around 30-odd% of the project cost will meet it through the debt. 70% will come from equity and the grant.
Okay. And so my second question is on this telluric pools in which you are investing. Could you talk a little about it? How exactly is it helping you? What is the ultimate purpose of investing in this?
So, Telluric Foods is 100% subsidiary, and that's the vehicle we're using for our domestic business. So, the brand Soul is being marketed by Telluric Foods.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Rahul Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I'm audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kudos to the management, sir, for a good set of numbers. I had a couple of questions regarding the distribution business. So for my first question is that what has led to this revenue increase in your distribution business? And to follow up, sir, you have mentioned about the cross-selling in your presentation slide related to distribution. So my question is that what are we trying to imply? Perhaps a better product basket?
Sorry, so on your first question, we mentioned last time that there were some supply chain issues during the transition from Unilever to Ecoterra. those are now being streamlined a lot, which is why we got our deliveries in time, which is why stock moves out faster. Hopefully, this will continue now that the management has changed. And on your, sorry, what was your second question?
So my second question was that you mentioned about the cross-selling in the presentation slide. So sir, I just want to know that what we are trying to imply, perhaps a better product basket.
Correct, yeah, we're just a wider offering for the retailer.
So just to give you one example, our distribution cost gets distributed over our products as well as these products, you know. So that's how we save on the...
And because they're complementary products, we can also, cross-sell. Because, I mean, for example, tea and samosa is something we promote very often, where the tea is Unilever and the samosa is ours.
Also, sir, I had one more question, sir. What would be the tenure of the contracts like, and how does the renewal process generally works in your terms of the exclusive rights to the new products or in the new regions?
So our contract with both Ekaterra and Patanjali is for 5 years, and the terms remain the same for 5 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Samyak Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Samyak Jain, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so my question is like, we have brought all the new products recently for the like 30-35 new products launch we have done under the Ashoka brand last year. And also I wanted to understand like what is the process you have been following, so like what research you do before bringing the new product launch.
So we have our sales team based in all our various markets. And they actually go to the market on a daily basis. Then we also get feedback from a lot of our distributors. So they constantly monitor what's moving, what categories are trending. And based on that, then we do the back end accordingly.
Okay, so my next question is like what is the typical contribution of brands catering to the like Middle East in the last 2 to 3 financial years? Like need to understand their general trend.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Like, what is the contribution of the brands catering in the Middle East, like, for, like, 2 to 3 years, for last financial years, in the Camel and Aeroplane brand?
So, Camel and Aeroplane both is, we don't give brand-wise breakup, but Camel and Aeroplane have both been growing at about 20% year on year.
Okay. And so, like, were there any new launches for the same products, for same brand, and any plans for this year?
No, we actually didn't launch anything under Camel and Aeroplane, but we are looking at a range of hot sauces under Camel.
Okay, like, so are you looking for any acquisitions and all for the catering to the Middle East markets?
We're actively looking at acquisitions, and the Middle East is something we've evaluated in the past.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, sir? Mr. Jain? Thank you.
Yeah.
We have our next question from the line of Abhay Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is the second time I am coming on call. But I was inquisitive about this inorganic acquisition which we are talking about. How far we are on this path? And whether we can expect anything in 23-24 or 24-25.
So we evaluate a lot of proposals which comes to us, and as and when something happens, definitely I think we'll come back and talk about it and give more details about it.
And will it be in domestic market or in international market?
So domestic market, we have found that the expectations are too high at this point of time. But I think we being present largely in the international market, we are finding very attractive target companies there. So I think So this is what we have to say on the acquisition front. We will see, as I said, we will come back as and when something happens.
Yeah, but it will be some cuisine-wise, it will be Indian cuisine something we are looking at, or it will be an international cuisine that we are looking at?
We're fairly open. It all depends on the opportunity that comes our way and what we can do with that business in the years to come.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from the line of Devanshu Sampat from Avendus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just a few more queries. So just to clarify this, between your two segments, right, how do you expense the distribution costs?
No, it depends. Like, it gets apportioned. See, generally, that's what happens.
Okay, so you're saying, depending on the sales mix, how it is split as well. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and a query on Truly Indian, right? So, I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong. You're talking about a food service vertical, which is, I believe you hired somebody as well to take a look at this business, and the, you know, the potential you had mentioned is quite high. So that is, and also you mentioned about the developments that have happened in UK and the UK distance. So, you know, so can you give a sense of what will be the possible revenue potential from both these? I'm just trying to get a sense of the market size, or, you know, what is the expectation that the company has, you know, on an annual run rate, even if it starts contributing, say, second half onwards. But, you know, and from a 2-3 year perspective, do you think it can become as big as Ashoka was in 2000 in FY23?
So for Truly Indian, it's a two-pronged approach. One is on the food service side, and the second is retail. So we've appointed someone for both these divisions. And in terms of revenue potential, even one listing can attribute to as much Ashoka does annually. On the UK side, we've just sent out our first shipment, so it's too early to gauge potential revenue. It all depends on secondary sales. But the trial order for one of the retailers was 8 containers, and for another was about 7 containers. So it's promising initial volumes.
Okay, so you mentioned that both these entities in UK have about 700 stores combined, right?
No, yeah, I'm not sure on the exact number. I think one is about 700, and the other will be upwards of 400.
Okay, so will we be available in all of them right away, or will it be just in parts and then we scale up?
So for one, it's 450 stores. For one, it's 170 stores. They all do it based on where their clientele is, so where the ethnic clientele is, and then if it picks up from there, then they move you into more stores.
Got it. And, you know, while you mentioned that the margin profile of this channel will remain similar to that of the processed food division, but how will the working capital requirements be? Will they be at the company average, or will it move higher?
I think it will be same, like what we are maintaining for the company.
Okay. And in one of your earlier questions, one participant asked you about, you know, whether you maintain your 20% CAGR kind of a number, but you know, there's Mr. Bimal Thakkar has been very clear that, you know, we're looking at doubling revenues every 3 years, which essentially means a CAGR of 26%. So are you indicating that investors should tame the expectations, or it was a 20% plus number that you mentioned, which could be that?
So on standalone, we continue to say maintain 25%. On your subsidiaries, will be at around 15%. So at a console level, will be at 20%. So what Mr. Bimal also said was doubling our revenue in standalone every 3 years.
Correct. Okay, so that is intact. Okay, got it. Thank you very much. I'm wishing you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sumer Thakkar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for taking your time out and participating in our earnings conference call. You can contact us for any queries or reach out to our investor relations advisors or Orient Capital. We wish you all the best and hope to interact with you in the coming quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of ADA Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.